Welcome back to our Total Sense Bite-Size episodes. I'm Tom Henske, and I'm here to help parents teach their kids about money.
Welcome back. Today, I have Dr. Wally Luckadoo. Best name ever. Wally, don't ever change that name. That's awesome. He is at Smyrna High School in Tennessee. We're kindred souls, not just with financial literacy. We're both soccer guys. He's a soccer coach down there. I coached up here in Connecticut. You guys know all that. You've listened to me for a while. And he has won a lot of great awards recently, including Educator of the Year by Tennessee's Jumpstart Coalition. And that's kind of the mark of excellence for teachers who are really just killing it in terms of teaching kids about money. So Wally, welcome. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. This is great. I'm psyched. So, hey, tell me a little about how you got started in teaching personal finance.
Well, I am originally from southeastern Ohio in a small town called Galapagos, Ohio. It's right in the heart of Appalachia, right on the border of West Virginia. And I had moved to Tennessee and I couldn't really find a job. So I ended up going back to school to be a teacher. And the first school that had hired me needed a personal finance teacher.
And did you know anything about personal finance going in, or was this kind of baptism by fire?
Going in, I actually had an interest in personal finance. I'd read like personal finance articles. I would do my own research about things.
Was there something that spurred that passion? Was it kind of like growing up? Did you talk about money in your house? What was the background there?
So I really wanted to teach personal finance because people from Appalachia don't have the same access and opportunities that other kids have, like here in close to Nashville where I teach. I really wish they had been offered when I was in high school. There were no business classes offered. There were no personal finance classes offered. I guess if I would have been educated, prepared, I could have avoid making some of those mistakes that I made throughout my life. I think it's critical that all students have access to financial education because it can make a significant difference in their personal and professional lives.
So you've been teaching for what, about 5 or 6 years in this subject?
Going into year 7.
Oh boy, year 7, lucky number 7. And so what have been some of the challenges that you've encountered?
Personal finance is not like a one-size-fits-all approach. So some kids are very interested in the topic, while other kids some kids are not very interested, and then some kids are really interested in what we're trying to do. And as a high school teacher, I have to kind of meet them in the middle and meet them where they are. But at the same time, I want to make sure that they can acquire the information that they need to know after they graduate high school.
So you've been doing it for a while. Part of our audience is, or the main part of our audience is parents, right? And then we have other people who are teachers who are tuning in. But I want you to address this so that it's applicable to parents too, because it's important for parents to talk about the topic at home and reinforce it. So what are some of the most effective methods or tools that you found that engage students?
Project-based learning is probably one of the most effective methods for teaching personal finance topics. It empowers students and it gives them a chance to reflect on the decisions that they make during activities. Students also find personal narratives and like stories that I tell them pretty interesting. And I can tell them about my experiences and the mistakes I've made. That way they don't repeat and they can learn from me before making those same mistakes themselves. In my classes, I think guest speakers are pretty much a must. Students don't always want to listen to their teachers. They want to listen to an accomplished adult who's pretty much not their teacher. Usually they'll listen to experts in different fields and they'll actually find things that they're interested in doing. It can give them an idea of what they want to do after high school. Students can also get involved with like internships, apprenticeships, and work-based learning. Work-based learning is a program the state of Tennessee offers. I also teach work-based learning classes. They can work in high school and get credit for working. They get paid and they can get a high school credit for working. They can either leave and go to work somewhere or they can work at a school-based enterprise. So at my high school, we have a school store and we also have a bank within our high school. So students are able to work in the bank and actually open checking accounts and savings accounts for other students. And they can also like teach them how to operate them.
That's cool. Now, so where's the money stay? Do you have a vault? How does it work?
I don't run the bank, so I don't know all the technicalities of that. Another teacher runs the bank.
Okay, got it, got it. So can you talk more about that work-study program that you were just talking about? How many kids take advantage of that? That seems like kind of a no-brainer. I'm going to go to work, I'm going to get paid, and I'm going to get credits for class. That's a big yes.
Yeah, it's definitely becoming very popular in Tennessee. Students like to sign up, and instead of going to study hall, they go to their job and they get paid. And you see a lot of people signing up. But on the other hand, you have to have the right students sign up, because you don't want anybody just going out and checking out of school, because you want somebody who is actually responsible.
And are you teaching a class that just integrates personal finance, or is a standalone personal finance class?
And in the state of Tennessee, it's a standalone class required to graduate. Right now, there are 26 states. California just went through with that. So now there's 26 states, and Tennessee is one of them.
And so let's think this through for a second. When you are in the classroom over the entire year, is there one topic that the kids like learning the most? And is there another topic that they have the most difficulty with?
Students really enjoy budgeting lessons. There are a lot of project-based learning activities you can do budgeting-wise. You can go on trips, you can take a vacation, you can go to the prom, you can do pretty much anything with budgeting. So students really seem to enjoy that.
What do they either not grasp or dislike the most?
Well, when I first started, I don't know if I can tell you this, but when I first started teaching, I used the Dave Ramsey platform, and they really hated watching the Dave Ramsey videos. So I kind of had to phase that out because they thought it was so boring. Topic wise, they seem to be afraid of math, like anything that involves math. They don't want to really do, but I find ways to get math into what we're trying to do, because obviously you're doing personal finance, you have to work with that. But a lot of students are scared of doing math.
And can you give an example of where they need to use math? There are probably lots, but one in particular that you can think of, a recent one where you needed to integrate math into a personal finance lesson?
Students are amazed whenever we go over the compound interest lesson, like, oh my gosh, how does that work? How's all this stuff work? And then we have to go through with all that. And then we use a calculator to make it easy for them. And they're like, oh, this is amazing. I actually want to start investing. Where can I go? Where can I start? How do I do this?
Yeah, we used to think that compound interest is the gateway topic to every other topic in personal finance, because if you want to compound interest, you need to have to save. If you're going to save, you usually have to budget. If you're going to get compound interest, you have to invest. If you're going to invest, you're probably going to pay taxes, right? So there's like a lot of, it's like sneaky teaching, right? You get a lot in there in that one topic. And do you find the kids are going home and talking to their parents about it?
Yes, actually, I had a success story about that. Back in those days when I was doing the Dave Ramsey curriculum, we did the Foundations of Personal Finance. We go over the 7 baby steps and the 5 foundations for personal finance. And I had a sophomore who had really taken it to heart. He had talked to his mom and dad about it. I didn't know this at the time. Come to find out at graduation, they had found one of his class. I think he called it Financial Peace University. They had went to their local church, and then they ended up being debt free and actually saved an emergency fund by the time they graduated high school. And I found that at graduation when they came and thanked me, and I was like, oh my, that's amazing.
Okay. Now that's the definition of a success story. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Any more like that? That's amazing.
I did have another success story. A student who was going to go out of state for college. He's going to go in an out of state institution for college. We basically go over the cost, the hidden cost of going to college out of state and in state, whether you're going to take your car to campus, how much you're going to be spending, what kind of spending money do you need, are you going to have a job, those kind of things. And he had looked at an out of state institution to go to. He's like, yeah, I can afford this. He got the financial aid award letter in the mail. yeah, everything looks good on paper. Obviously, they put the student loans in the financial aid award package. He didn't really realize that he had to agree to a student loan. He ended up, after we went over that, he went over how much it would cost to an in-state institution he's considering. And he's like, wow, I'm not going to have to pay anything out of pocket. He ended up getting the Tennessee Hope and Tennessee Promise scholarship and going for free. So,
and if it's free, it's for me, right?
Yeah, save the parents about a few thousand dollars.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's an understatement for sure. And what age are the students in your class?
Majority of my students are seniors in high school. They need the class to graduate. I do have some sprinkled in sophomores, juniors, but majority of them are seniors, either 17 or 18 years old.
And the between the 10th and the 12th graders, any do you see anything different, or is it just person by person?
Typically person by person. I mean, 10th through 12th graders are awesome. I have been a substitute teacher in a middle school, and that was a no-go for me. So each kid has a different personality. I mean, it's like when you're teaching this stuff, it's really important to build relationships with these kids, see what they want to do after high school, see what they're doing now. They will find interests in high school that could actually get them to where they want to go. And personal finance related, well, we'll just say they might really like working on cars, and they might want to be a mechanic. How does that relate to after high school? Well, they could open their own business after high school, and we could find out the tools that they need to use once they happen. We could go over taxes and budgeting and that kind of thing.
Cool. And what about technology? Are you using any technology in the classroom? Are you talking about it?
Absolutely. I absolutely love using educational technology. I try. There's just so many things out there. It kind of gets overwhelming. But yeah, I use a lot of educational technology tools.
Anything in particular?
We use EverFi, which is modules where you can go in and do different things with finance-related topics. We use the next-gen personal finance. They have a whole curriculum built for personal finance students. That's what they've been working on. I started using artificial intelligence in the classroom last year, which is a very trending topic. It just needs to be used in the right way. You can't just go in and you can get an idea for a topic and then build from there with artificial intelligence. YouTube is a huge thing. A lot of teachers will say not to use TikTok because you need to go in there. But a lot of students that learn on TikTok are like, hey, is this true? And then we can look at different things. I can show a video and be like, so is this true or not true? Then we can decipher and make a judgment about like TikTok videos or different influencers, because you never know who to trust out there.
Yeah, we had a guest who in our town, she did some girl math TikToks. I don't know if you remember that. And she was telling me that she had something like 16 million views. 16 million. That's a lot. And so like, hey, we can ignore TikTok if we want, but if that's where the kids are at, then why not use it as a tool? Even like you said, if there's misinformation, it provides a conversation to start with, right? So I think that that's great. You know, do you see any trends coming up, either personal finance or teaching personal finance or financial literacy is going to go from here? For example, let me give you an example. Check writing, right? So like, I think we could probably all agree that check writing is going to be out if it's not already out.
It's pretty much already out.
It's pretty much all right, right.
I guess financial education is like constantly changing. So basically those who are in our field, what we deal with personal finance. Basically, we need to learn and acquire new information. Like I'm constantly learning and doing like professional development and things like that. Buy now, pay later. That's a big trend going on right now. You can easily get accepted for buy now, pay later if you're buying a product. Cryptocurrency, huge. Students have tons of questions about cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and different things of that nature. And a thing we didn't have when we were in high school, the gig economy. The gig economy is huge. You got Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, Instacart. And how does that relate? And do we have to pay taxes on that stuff? And how do we file that kind of stuff? We go over that kind of stuff. And another huge one, especially in Tennessee, sports gambling. You wouldn't think about sports gambling, but it is definitely a trend in young adults and young adult males specifically. artificial intelligence, like we talked about earlier, is definitely going to change the learning environment that we have as educators. Also, when I was in high school, we were always told college is the only way. College is the only way you're going to be able to be successful in life. And that's not true. Obviously, we know that's not true. We see the student loan crisis and everything that the adults now are experiencing. And these kids are like, I don't want to be in student loan debt. So they're finding different pathways, like they're going to different trade schools, or they're going to cosmetology school, or they're just going straight into real estate. They're like, I don't really need a college degree to be successful. Yes, it helps, but do I really need it right now? Do I need to go in thousands of dollars of debt? I am personally seeing that trend. I don't know about other teachers throughout the United States, but my students, I do see that trend. I don't know. I think it's just important to stay up to date with the topics that are going on.
Yeah, you mentioned sports gambling. I've actually done not one, but two episodes on it. One of which, this is my shameless self-promotion here. We did one on a college student in identifying how it works and how they do the gambling. And then we had a bookie on, and that was, you know, how they collect the money. So those are good. So if any parents are listening to this and you heard sports gambling and you started to say, uh-oh, don't worry, we've done a couple of episodes on it. So, hey, Wally, this is awesome. Any parting words of wisdom for our listeners?
Never too late to learn and never too late to start. The sooner you start, the better off you're going to be. And I think I would probably try to start teaching this to my kids around by the time they get five years old, because it starts to get instilled in their brains. And it's better to teach them a habit to begin with than going back and trying to reteach something they made a mistake on, if that makes sense.
Yeah, start early. You heard it from Dr. Wally. Dr. Wally, the Educator of the Year in Tennessee Jumpstart Coalition. That's awesome. Thanks for joining us. We really appreciated the time, and best of luck in the rest of your school year.
Thanks for having me. Have a great one.
I hope you enjoyed our episode of Total Sense. A special thank you goes out to Verso Studios at the Westport Library. Tune in for our next Money Chat.